If the human being pays attention to his life and if he looks and sees, then there are three stages and phases that an individual passes through in life. And it is essential and it is a must that a person, it's a fact that a person will pass through these three phases in life. The first phase through which a person passes in life is that when a person comes into this world, and he comes into the realm of this world. He was not here before, the human being, and then he arrives or she arrives into the world. So the first phase or first stage is to arrive into the world. And this is an important and necessary stage to obviously reach into the world, to physically arrive. And what this means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for that person, human being, been selected. Allah ta'ala has selected that individual for coming into the world to live the life, to fulfill the test. And it's the selection of Allah that He has sent us to this world or made us come to this world. And when that poor soul comes into the world, the child, the position of the child is that the child is crying when the child arrives. You know, a baby when it's born is crying. And the people who are receiving that child, they are all laughing and smiling and happy, distributing sweets and mitai, and everyone's happy, overjoyed and joyous, and the child is crying. The baby's crying that, where am I stuck? I was fine before, I was sitting in Jannah or in a better place. Where am I here now, stuck amongst these people? And people are happy, though we're stuck and he's also stuck. Oh, another young person has come to join us, and let's see what this person does in the world. So that poor soul, the baby's crying, and these people are happy and they're smiling, and this is the first stage. And then we see that how the things transform, that when he goes from stage 1 to stage 2, the child. So in stage 1, the baby's crying, and the people around the baby, receiving the baby, are laughing and smiling and happy. And second phase of life is then that person smiling, and people, they are upset. So first they were smiling and now they're crying. So that's the final stage, isn't it? When a person passes away, that person is passing away and people are crying. So first stage is when the person comes into the world, because we have to carry out our lives and implement our lives in this world. And in the dunya, Allah Ta'ala has given us actions to implement and carry out. These are those actions that will be useful for us in the next stage and that we will require, and these will be necessary. And the people of understanding, they understand this message that we are not going to stop here forever. We're not going to be here forever. And these three stages of life, nobody can reject. Nobody. And no one can. Any religion, any belief, if a person has a link with any belief or religion, or even a person doesn't have a religion, but everyone believes that I have to be born, and everybody accepts that we have to die. Everyone believes in these two phases. Nobody can reject. And the other stage, number two, that how can we be agreed that obviously we will depart from him, we're not going to come back. So for this, the people of understanding, they prepare for the next stage after this life, after death. For example, a person's traveling on the train and he gets off at the station and he says, I have to get off here to change over to another train. So he prepares for the other train and he waits on the platform. The next train will come and I will sit on the next train. So this is the platform. This world we are in is the platform, and we are temporarily on the platform. All of us sitting here 100% are sure, and we can look into our hearts and we know that those people who are related to us, we've said to them goodbye from this platform, from this station, and they've gone to the other stop. With our own hands, we've seen people off. They were our own blood, our family, our relatives, our associates, our friends. They sat with us and spoke to us, and we've seen them off. They've passed away. They've reached to the other stage. So here, when a person is here, what is he waiting for in life? For that next stage, to depart from here and to go to the next stage. And how do we wait? That as soon as a person comes, he starts to worry that I need to go to the next place. I need to travel to the next place. There's an example. There's a child, and the biggest worry of the parents for the child, was that whatever happens, oh, he's sneezing, is he okay? That we don't want that person to die. We don't want the child to die. If the breath stops, a cold or a flu, or a, you know, runny nose, the parents will be worried. The baby, oh, is he passing away? Oh, is he ill? Is he going to be that? After the child is born, the yaqeen comes that we are not going to stay here. That consciously we practice that. We don't accept from our mouths, but our actions tell us that we've got so much khawf. The child hasn't even been born an hour, but we're scared. Is the child alive? Is he well? And the mothers, they wake up in the night. Is he breathing? Oh yeah, he's breathing. My child's breathing. So we don't have the yaqeen, the certainty that we are going to depart from here. We don't have yaqeen that we cannot stay in this world forever. So we keep on getting the sort of shocks from the child, the baby, to the youth, to the old age. Oh, I don't want to pass away. Oh, I don't want to die. Something happens, and to save our lives, we try our utmost. We run to hospitals left and right, everywhere. But when you have to depart, then nothing can assist. And then we have to say goodbye to everybody. Each and every one of us will have to wave the goodbyes, and even for ourselves. So what we realize is a person, when he comes to this world, if we accept or not, we are travelers. And everyone knows in their brain, in their minds and hearts, that I have to depart this world one day. Now, we need to try and make effort to prepare for the next destination, the next part of the journey. Yeah, we're not going to stay here forever. What will happen in the next stage after death? And prepare for that. And those who have gone to the next stage, yeah, because we're in the line, we're in the queue with the Fadl of Allah, we still have a chance, we can understand and put our lives right. Those who have departed this world, those we've dropped off, seen off, waved goodbye to, and they're buried, they've passed away, and now they're in the second stage, aren't they? So they have disappeared from us. They've departed from us, detached from us, they're in the next world. But they, as soon as they left this dunya, they are in such a place that they are not going to be there forever, are they? They're waiting for the next stage. In the hadith it is stated that even if, for example, the thunder claps and the people who are in the grave say, oh, Qiyamah's come, Qiyamah's come. It's the day of judgment. Like when we cough, you say, am I going to pass away? Am I going to die? And every time, everyone in this world is afraid, that am I going to die? The child, the old man, the middle age, oh, has my visa been given? The stamp? Is my passport been issued for the death? And everyone's worried about this. Person's healthy, but he's still got fikr that am I going to pass away? In the same way, the second stage, which is the grave, when we will also reach there, and they are not satisfied, they're not happy. And what are they waiting for? The next stage after that, that we have to reach to thereafter. In the same way, is still, you know, the person, he's shaken, and the people who go from the grave, they go into the grave, the stage two, the life after death, and they're worried, has Qiyamah come? Is the day of judgment come? And the third stage, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Al-Qari'atu mal-Qari'atu wa ma adraka mal-Qari'ah. Allah Ta'ala, in very clear terms, has mentioned in the Quran with regards to the third stage, Yawm al-Qiyamah. What is that place? That is called Qiyamah. Judgment Day, and Judgment Day will come, and this is a part of our Iman. A person who has belief, he believes these three things, that I'm alive now, I've come with life into this world, I'm living in the world, after this world I have to depart, after I depart, I will have to rise up again from the grave, and on the Day of Judgment, which will become come into being, the Day of Judgment. What is the Day of Judgment? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about the Day of Judgment. He has sketched out for us the scene. He explained to us details. The Sahaba Ikram, they spoke, they were sad, they were distressed. Of what kind of place will this be? The next stage, what's going to happen to us? The day of Qiyamah, how will we fare? They said, oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when will Qiyamah come? We haven't even come to the second stage yet, the grave. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a beautiful answer. Beautiful. That what have you prepared for that day? What have you? That's the objective of this life. That when we come, doesn't matter what day it comes, what should we do? We need to, the human being needs to prepare for the Day of Judgment. And what is that place? What is the preparation for the Day of Judgment? What sort of preparation does Qiyamah request or ask? Allah Ta'ala says that the thunder and the things that will shake. What is this? وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ. Allah says, you do not understand. You cannot understand that how Qiyamah will come, how it will come into being, how will that day pass. We have total iman in this and yaqeen. But we have such yaqeen that after having the belief, But I don't prepare, mashallah, you will practice and prepare. But we are very weak in the preparation for the judgment day. So what we realize is that we don't have the reality, practice and preparation for Qiyamah Day. We don't have it. And how will Qiyamah come? In some hadith, this event has been told that how Qiyamah will come into being and be established. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the angels to Israfil that blow the trumpet. He's ready at the moment. His lips are around the mouth of the trumpet. Allah will say to Israfil that blow the trumpet. The trumpet will be blown and everything in this universe will be destroyed. When? Nobody knows. We'll be sat. People will be walking. People will be living their life as normal. Totally like normal people. And they will know nothing else that what's about to happen. And suddenly, how will the world be destroyed? And everything will split and crumble to dust and totally disappear. And the second time the trumpet will be blown, and then everything that you can see that was destroyed, like, you know, you have massive cracks and ditches, and the second blowing of the trumpet, everything will disappear. Nothing will remain existent. To this extent, nothing will remain. Nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, who is now left? Who is baqi? And the angels, the four angels, the amilin arsh, the angels that are holding the arsh, they will be in existence and will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah will say that I am baqi, everlasting. I am baqi and I will stay baqi. So you also perish and death will come to you. And then all the angels, those four angels, the amilin arsh, they will then be destroyed. And Allah will say, who is left? And the angel of death will say, Allah, me and you. Allah will say, baqi antal baqi. Only I will remain everlasting. And then the angel of death will go as well. And maut, death, will also taste death. And this is the first scene of Qiyamah, on which we have yaqeen and belief and we have iman. And after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after how long, what period of time? Yes, Allah will allow the rain to fall on the universe, on the whole of creation. And after that, after the rain falls, everything that lived will start to come out from the earth. And the angels will come back to life, those same four angels. Then the trumpet will be blown. And then the people who had died, everyone will be dead at that time, isn't it? From the beginning of time till the end, everybody will come out of their graves. And this is the scene that will take place. And then Qiyamah, the day of judgment, will start. It will be hot, accounting for the deeds, the good deeds, the bad deeds, and everyone will stand naked. There will be no cloth on anyone's body, and nobody will understand or have that consciousness to understand this. So this is the time of Qiyamah, the severe time of Qiyamah. And this time to come, we need to understand it. Our hearts are so hard that these words, we think that these are stories and folk tales. Like Jack and Nori, we don't have fikr and worry. And it's come out of our bodies, out of our hearts and our minds. That what will be our hal on the day of judgment? What will be my hal? What will be my reckoning? How will I be treated? Will I succeed? What deeds will I present? Will I be a good person? I have no preparation for this. No preparation for this. Unfortunately. And Qiyamah is so close that we cannot even imagine that how close it is. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated it's very close. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba were afraid that as Qiyamah come, when there was a bit of a dull weather or clouds gathered, claps of thunder and rain, the Sahaba were afraid and said, has Qiyamah come? Has the Day of Judgment come? And now today we have iman, we have belief, and the ahkams that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, those ahkams, if we look at them, is the implementation of them. All of the pages of the Quran we've forgotten. We've forgotten the orders of Allah. We've forgotten the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sharia has disappeared. Brothers, is this our hal? Is this good? Is this the reflection of iman? That some preparation we should have, isn't it? For the next stage to come. And such deeds that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prescribed to us for the preparation for Qiyamah. Such deeds that has Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the human being, if we bring them into our life, then alhamdulillah, that on the Day of Judgment, we will be lucky and successful. We will pass the test. Yeah? That we will be able to pass all of the hard stages through this life and the hereafter, the grave and after death. There's a hadith
In Sahih Muslim, Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu narrates this hadith, and maybe you have heard this hadith from scholars before, but this hadith has just passed by my eyes for the first time, I tell you the truth. And when we hear this hadith from ulama, etc., but this hadith first time I saw, and very happy, alhamdulillah, and a big piece of good news in this hadith. And all of you, listen to this hadith carefully, attentively. And today I will, in the light of this hadith, it's a Sahih hadith in Sahih Muslim, I will speak about one amal, one deed, which on the day of judgment, at that time, will be very useful for us, very useful for us. My brothers, let's prepare something for the day of judgment. Let's do something, isn't it? Let's think that at least something we should practice to prepare for that day when we'll be stood in hardship. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a special deed to prepare for the day of judgment. Let's think about it. Ajeeb hadith, Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased him, stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated this, and this is a hadith in Sahih Muslim, beautiful hadith. La taqumu sa'atu. La taqumu sa'atu. And what's next? It's Ajeeb. Ala ahadin. Qiyamah. Day of judgment will not come on that person. La taqumu sa'atun ala ahadin. And the next amal. That person who has done this deed, implemented this deed on that person, qiyamah will not even come on that person. Subhanallah. Tell me, think about it for a moment. What is that deed that the individual, if he practices that deed here in the world now while he's alive or she's alive, Allah says, La taqumu sa'ata ahadin, that the hour will not come on the person. Is there a hadith? But this is another hadith. There are hadith like this. So ala ahadin, it will not come on that person. So Allah's Nabi is talking about a person, individual. That individual who does this amal, about him, Allah's Nabi said that qiyamah will not come on that person, the day of judgment. But qiyamah will come. Think about it. The day of judgment will come, isn't it? Qiyamah is going to come. The day of judgment is going to come. How can it be that the whole world is there and the world will finish and perish? And will those people be alive at that time upon whom the qiyamah will not come? The qiyamah is going to come. As I said to you, the trumpet will be blown. And all of the scenes of qiyamah, dying, rising from the grave, and the day of judgment will happen. But here the hadith is saying that the hour will not come on that person. That on this person specifically, qiyamah will not come. So what we realize is that qiyamah will definitely come. The day of judgment will occur. But the people who used to practice this specific deed, upon those people, the severity of qiyamah will not come on those people. The severity. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the day of judgment will occur. They will be just there. And just like outside is pouring down with rain, for example. Yes, severe rain, a storm. And people are getting wet. And you have a very beautiful and good model of umbrella, and people are getting wet due to the storm and the rain, but you're saved. Your clothes are not getting wet, and you'll say, I don't even know it's raining. Maybe it's raining for you, but I'm walking down the road easily. I'm safe. I've got safety. Yeah, the taller the umbrella, the wider, the bigger its circumference, so you'll be protected from the rain. So qiyamah will come, and we will be there. But this deed, if we do it, it will be so strong that it will protect us from all of the hardships of the day of judgment. The women, the men, the children, everybody will be passing through the hardships of qiyamah. Forget about the hardship. We cannot even talk about it. So much we could say. There are many hadith and kitabs. What will happen on the day of judgment? At what time? How will Allah ask us? How will we be stood? What will people be doing? Such a massive topic, massive subject. We could talk for so long. The bridge of Sirat will come. After the bridge of Sirat, there will be other tests that will come and challenges. But this person who practiced this specific deed I'm discussing today, hadith states, لَا تَقُومُ سَعْتُ لِلَا أَحَدٍ. On this person, those events of Qiyamah will not occur. Shall I tell you that deed? Will you practice this deed? You make a promise, solid promise. So you should try from today to make this effort properly. Yes, isn't it? This is a great preparation. And we shouldn't be lazy on this, inshallah. And however many chances we get to do this, however many chances, we'll try our best physically that we will practice this deed. Yes? I didn't hear anyone saying inshallah. Inshallah, everyone should say. Because we need to see here that at any time we could pass away,
and reach to that next stage in the grave or the day of judgment. So we don't know. So from today we need to prepare, and with the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah, we are hopeful, alhamdulillah, that on the day of judgment, when the test will come, the prophets, the angels, everyone will be shaking, sweating, afraid. Everyone will be running around. What shall we do? What shall we do? And eventually they'll go to one place. And where's that? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Isn't it? This hadith tells us this on the day of judgment. So this is the deed, that such events will occur on the day of judgment. If you read these hadith, you'll say, huh, is this a day? Allah's Nabi Sallam stated, لَا تَقُومُ سَاعَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. Let me tell you, such a deed, if you practice it in your life on planet Earth, then the severity of the day of Qiyamah will not come to you. Rather, you'll go in reverse gear. And you will enjoy it. It'll be like a holiday for you. Can you think? Can you think that you'll be there on the day of judgment? That Allah is the Khalik, the Malik. He can do what He wants with everyone, every single person. So the dunya will be in a severe situation and he'll be on holiday, this person, relaxing, enjoying, having a happy time, joyful time on the day of judgment. Can you imagine this? That this maqam, that day of judgment, that sufi, that when you hear and read about Qiyamah, the Sahaba Ikram, they didn't just have tears, there were stains on their eyes for crying out of the fear of the day of Qiyamah. They used to look, the weather is Qiyamah come, Qiyamah will happen, I'll have to stand and answer the questions and give accountability for my deeds. They were scared, afraid, they had khawf of Allah, fear of Allah. So this is the preparation we have to do, just like the Sahaba prepared. But when we reach there, when we get to the day of judgment, those people will have this special amal, action, just like the Sahaba Ikram had, then what will be their rank and status? And then let me tell you, this hadith is telling us, لَا تَقُومُ سَعَةُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. Shall I tell you this action? Shall we read this hadith? Okay, let's read it. حَزَ أَنَّسُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنُهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ لَا تَقُومُ السَّعَةُ حَتَّى لَا تَقُومُ سَعَةٌ أَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهُ. That on that person, Qiyamah will not come who keeps on doing the dhikr of Allah. Who keeps on doing the dhikr of Allah. Tell me, is this not simple, straightforward understanding of this hadith? So if we read this hadith more, when I said about holiday, then listen, that on the day of judgment there will be hardship, darkness, severity. These people, Allah Ta'ala says, Qiyamah will not come to them. What will they do? There will be, you can say, doorways made for them, members of Yaqut, of Zamurat, and they'll be decorated, their doorways, and people will be coming out of their graves. But these people, their faces will be shining like the moon on the 14th night, the full moon, those sisters and brothers. Isn't this not a holiday? People will be drowning in their sweat. The sun's heat will be so close. I mean, the hadith is stated that the sweat will come from their feet, rise up, and their mouths will be in the sweat, and they'll be naked, they'll be screaming. And what about those other people? The dhakirin, la taqumu sa'atu, the hour will not come with them. They will be sat under the shade of Allah Ta'ala's arsh, and they'll be sat there in the coolness. And what, imagine the enjoyment they'll be living. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says, they did my dhikr, they remembered me on planet Earth. And when everyone else was lazy, they remembered me. When other people didn't care, were not aware of Allah, they remembered me. Look how great is the name of Allah. Today, this amal, we're getting this free of charge. We don't appreciate Him. We don't even appreciate Allah. Forget about Allah's dhikr. What thing do we appreciate? What do we really value in this world today? What? It's all a drama. Qadr, we don't have value for the Quran. No practice of ours is according to the Quran. Isn't it? Rasulullah, we don't value Him. You think that today what's happening is value of Rasulullah? Everything that's happening outside in the world, is this value for Rasulullah? Do we appreciate Him? Sallallahu, we are following our nafs. We are obeying our desires. Did we appreciate the greatest Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We will rise as His ummati on the day of judgment. How will we answer? That we can't even keep four hairs on our chin. An ummati, he can't grow the hairs on the chin. One woman, she cannot keep the parda according to Sharia. Will we not be asked on the day of judgment? Will we have a link with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment? Will the Quran be related to us on the day of judgment? The person who doesn't even have the time to live his life according to one line of the Quran, will the Quran not say? Doesn't the Quran not say, don't lie, la taqrabu fahisha, that don't even go close to fahisha? The Quran doesn't say don't do fahisha. It says la taqrabu fahisha, don't use the resources and the means and the methods and the tools that take you to fahisha, to lewdness and shameful acts. How many means
are there today? Methods and paths to go to fahisha. And the Quran says, لا تقربوا فاهشة. Don't go close to it. But who believes in the Quran today? Who practices the Quran today? This is kalam Allah. These are the words of Allah. The Quran's not speaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking. When you read the Quran, you're not reading words, you're reading Allah's words. So how do we appreciate? Look at the hal of the ummah today. We just don't care. Such a sad state of affairs. What a great status Allah gave to the Muslim ummah, that we are related to the greatest Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam connection, and we are so ungrateful for this, we don't even care. Such a great reward. Take all of the treasures of the world and put them on one side. Can there be a greater treasure than on the Day of Judgment? You'll be asked, oh, Ummati of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, come, and we'll be stood there. That's the greatest gift in the universe. To be the member of that exclusive club. Do we value this? No, we don't. So Allah Ta'ala's zikr prepares for this. Allah shown one jalak, one little sign that my dhikr is so great that on the Day of Judgment I'll make a shade for you, and you'll be sat under the shade of my arsh. When the people will be sweating and crying, you'll be enjoying yourselves, dhakireen. So many hadith, the Prophet has said the Day of Judgment this will happen, but the dhakireen, they won't suffer. They will be sat in the shade. Tell me. They will be called out, unique, do shukr to Allah, me. I should be so grateful that how Allah brings me to this gathering. How Allah puts in my heart the love for His dhikr and the Quran and His hadith. So we come with whatever intention, but at least we're remembering Allah, isn't it? At least we're gathered for Allah Ta'ala's name. We're sat at least. We've made a start. Now if I get sworn at or criticized or people say bad to me, alhamdulillah, no loss for me, no skin off my back. No skin off my back. Nothing's happened if I get criticized, because this is such a great action. Brothers, my colleagues, people can laugh, joke against you, mock you, stop you, prevent you. Never leave dhikr of Allah. Never leave your routine. I always say this, do dhikr regularly, daily. Don't ever be lazy and negligent. There's no easier deed than this, and it will give you the highest rank more than any other deed. That Allah Ta'ala will take us out of the grave, then we'll have to stand in the queue and answer the questions and sweat. Allah will take us away from all of those tests. We will bypass these tests. Allah will put us in a separate, unique group with ease. لا تقوم الساعة على أحد يقول الله الله. Those people who say Allah Allah, Allah Ta'ala will not allow the severity of Qiyamah to come on their heads. They won't even know it's the day of Qiyamah. They'll say, why are people complaining? It's like we just got up out of the grave and walked into paradise. They said, we didn't even know what test you're talking about, and trial and challenge. And this will happen that day for some people will be a few minutes long only. Just a few seconds. So easy Allah will make the Day of Judgment for those people, the dhakireen. So the people who do the dhikr, they will have the ease. And when they will be going into paradise, there will be no rush around them. This hadith states this. There are 8 doors for Jannah. 8 doors. One of the 8 doors specially Allah set aside. Only those people will go through this door out of the 8 who did dhikr of Allah, who remembered Allah. Imagine will be VIPs, very important persons. That this is the value today. Today's effort of doing dhikr, how it will benefit us. This sitting 1 hour, 1.5, we lower our heads, we do dhikr of Allah, remember Allah's name. Allah makes us do this. We don't do this. Allah gives us the fadl that we can recite His name. And those who go in their beds, in their mattresses and waste the time, Allah, they don't say Allah. They don't get up. So can be those who see and don't see the same? Can the cold and the hot be the same? Can darkness and light be the same? No. So can the person who's a dhakir and the non-dhakir, can they be the same? Never can they be the same. Never. So today's struggle, my brothers, today, don't fear. Don't worry. Don't be upset. Oh, my time's gone. I'm doing dhikr and my time's wasting. One dharra. For the second, in comparison to the hardship of the Day of Judgment, this is no hardship in this world. This struggle and striving we're doing of doing dhikr of Allah, spending our time. Is this working hard? We get out of the bed, we sit down in the masjid, we don't feel like it. It's hard. My husband said this to me. My Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, may Allah Ta'ala rain down noor on his grave. My husband used to say, whether your heart feels or not. Oh, what a great statement. And used to come into the heart straight away. That babu, do dhikr, doesn't matter whether your heart feels like it or not, whether you're feeling well or not, whether you like it or not, whether your heart feels like it or not, whether your physical body is up to it or not. But what? Just never leave dhikr. And don't do dhikr for taste and enjoyment and feeling. Do it because Allah has ordered us to do it. Allah Ta'ala has ordered. Don't say, oh, I'm doing dhikr looking for some sort of inner depth, whether you feel like it or not, whether your heart feels like it or not, whether enjoyment comes or not. So Hazrat said, don't do dhikr for enjoyment. Don't seek maza. Rather do it because Allah has ordered. You must remember me. We're doing dhikr for this reason. Allah has given us hukam. order. Whether we feel sleepy, I do dhikr, I don't know, I'm not worried about other things. Allah has given hukam, remember me. Remember me all the time. If I say, oh, I didn't enjoy it today, I didn't feel like it, oh, it's tiring, I'm physically exhausted, and there's no depth of strength of iman in my heart. This is not the principle for dhikr. This is not the law for Allah's remembrance. Allah has given us so much chance, that Allah says that even if your heart doesn't feel -1% to do tasbih, still pick the tasbih up and do dhikr of Allah. That even that action will not go empty. And Hazrat Thanwi, rahmatullah alayhi, stated that, oh, foolish people, this is such a great worship action, such a great worship action. Hazrat Thanwi, you know, they said that even if Allah comes once out of your mouth while you're sad, that once when you just say, Allah, that even that won't go without the reward. How can we say that it's a waste of time? Allah's name, so beloved. Millions and billions of people in the world, they're not saying Allah's name. They're not able to say Allah's name. Billions of people in the world. Do they say Allah's name? If they did, then they'd be Muslims, but they can't. Poor souls. Billions, rich, high status, powerful. Hundreds of millions of people, but they can't say Allah. And here, we're sat, look at the kamal of iman. The magic of iman. A person who's poor, ragged, beggar, torn clothes, smells, but he says Allah. Allah's given him the tawfiq. Ah. What a massive difference. What a massive difference that the world, who is the most richest person in the world, who can't say Allah, but the poor beggar soul who says Allah, he's eating dry chapati from 4 days ago. You see people with dry chapati, he's got onions, he's mixing in the yogurt, and the flies are coming on his food, and his body smells, he's weak, he's labored 10 hours in the sweat as a builder, he's got a broken glass of water next to his dry chapati, and he's got yogurt and onions and garlic, and he eats and says Allah. Allah, subhanallah, this is the value of Allah's name. Who's he remembering, thanking? Allah. He's remembering Allah's name. Allah's name, to say Allah's name. Do you know how valuable is the name of Allah? Our tongue, if it just says Allah once, there will come a time in every man's life. I tell you, there will come a time in every man's life. He will want to say Allah, I want to say your name, and he won't be able to say it. The door will be shut, closed, sealed. We won't be able to say it then. So go to the hospitals. Go to the wards. People, recite kalma, say Allah, quickly, say Allah. And happy are those who die saying Allah. Happy are those people. And that person who said Allah, Allah says that person, he has crossed that bridge, he is successful. Subhanallah. So my brothers, we are so lucky, free of charge. Free of cost, we've been given this time and this treasure. With this hour we get regularly, we come in the masjid, nice warm carpet, heaters on the wall, electricity, light, there's food we've eaten, and those who haven't eaten, your food is being cooked at home. Think, Allah has given us such comforts and luxuries. And after that, Allah Ta'ala, what is He making us do? That action we're doing, upon which those people, Qiyamah won't come on the world, it will come, but on you it won't come. It won't come on you, Qiyamah. Because Qiyamah, I don't know what's Qiyamah, will say on the Day of Judgment. What is Qiyamah? Well, people will say that people are struggling, sweating. Qiyamah has not come to you, will say, no. They'll say, didn't you read the hadith? Allah said in the hadith that there will be a qawm upon whom the Qiyamah will come. So I know I'm from that person. That person will say on the Day of Judgment. Do we not have yaqeen on hadith? This is a Sahih Muslim hadith, brothers. Sahih Muslim. So may Allah Ta'ala give us, make us the true, honest dhakir. Never bargain the time of dhikr. Never. Let me tell you this today. Never think, oh, I'm sat here half an hour, I'm going to do dhikr, and if I start doing dhikr, I won't be able to work, or if learning dhikr, or if I go into the path of tasawwuf, I'll get lost, I'll lose time. Never think like this, ever. Doesn't matter how much you have to sit, and doesn't matter how much Allah Ta'ala shows us loss in the world. If I didn't do dhikr, I could have earned more money, I could have gone and enjoyed myself. Oh, now I'm looked down upon, people criticize me, I'm not living in the world properly, and now you've gone to the khanqa, and you're wasting time. Many big dramas and challenges come in your life, but remember my one statement today, that those people who have a link with the teacher, and for the sake of Allah's name, and they're attached to that person, I swear by Allah, there's no greater relationship under the sun. I swear by Allah, I tell you, all relationships will break. Your father will leave you. Your mother, who gave you birth, who gave you blood from her and her milk from her chest, I swear by Allah, and she on the Day of Judgment will forget her son. The Qiyamah will come, the thunder, she will forget who is my son, my daughter. She'll run around screaming. She won't even recognize the children. Wahid, wahid. But if you have a connection with a person for the sake of Allah, those people will be together. together. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala said that this relationship, the student and the teacher, this relationship was for my name. How can I break the relationship that was created for my name? No way. This person who had the friendship with this other person for the sake of Allah, nor did the teacher nor the student have any greed. They stuck each other like the wasp, the bee goes to honey. So Allah Ta'ala says, these people, they were related to each other, friendship and love, due to my name. So imagine our action today, this action, our hal, those sisters, those brothers, those children, alhamdulillah, who have got nisbat, connection for the sake of Allah's name. Imagine their status. Imagine their status. What maqam Allah Ta'ala will give to those people. Imagine. So, are those people not looked down bad? Ups and downs come in life. Criticism comes in life. But alhamdulillah, bad times have come. But those who are stuck to the name of Allah, I have not seen one person change who is not attached to the name of Allah. I've not seen anyone for this reason. Yes, maybe laziness is there, problems come, but due to this reason, I have not seen someone depart. That why is this person wrong, or dhikr is wrong, etc. Alhamdulillah, such the name is of Allah, it's such it came onto the heart that nobody shook after that. Nobody wilted after that. Has anybody? No. Everybody's firm and solid. So this is what we realize in the world. So what will happen in the hereafter? How can it be that Fazlul Quraysham, will his flag not stand up? And people will come behind him. Oh, Naqshbandis come, everyone who was the dhakir come here. Imame people come. On that day, watch the glow and the glitter and the shine. May Allah give his fadal. Now there may be darkness. May Allah allow us to pass away like this. May Allah allow us to pass away like this. That can he give us the mod? And then in the hereafter, we'll see. We're getting the good news here. We won't even realize that where did you reach to? What qiyamah, hisab, kitab, sweating? Nope. Direct fly straight into the great Jannah paradise. And special door, VIP door for the dhakirin. Special. So will you do dhikr now? Will you leave dhikr? Don't break this relationship. I tell you, when you have the relationship with the teacher for the sake of Allah's name, and in between is Allah, and you take the hand of the teacher. The Quran says that you, whose hand are you putting your hand into? Not that teacher. You are doing bath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allegiance to Allah because you're giving the name of Allah. Reciting this, it doesn't matter how many hardships come, time passes. When you put the hand into the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you get the nisbat to Allah direct, then you become a great human being. And those who have not taken the nisbat connection, then go to the cloak of the fakir, men and women folk. Take the chadar, take the cloak and the sheet. With the fadl of Allah, you will get the good news on the day of judgment. I tell you, the best father, the best son is who? If he wants to serve his father, then go and put your hand into the hand of a Naqshbandi sheikh and get his finger on your heart and let your heart alive, and then you will benefit your father as well. The best human being who wants to serve his mother is that he should introduce his mother to a Naqshbandi sheikh and say, do tawbah mada. Even if she understands or not. But say, mom, take the nisbat. It's not me. Sheikh Kabir has a Mujaddad al-Aftani rahmatullahi. He wrote this in his maktubat. That whoever is linked to the Naqshbandi silsila, Allah has promised with me that I will forgive that person if he implements that. Yes? So, my brothers, we can do all other things in our life, alhamdulillah. But what a great khidmat, that the best khidmat for your mother and your father, your relatives, your brother, sister. If you have love for your relatives, and you have got love for your relatives, if today your sister says, give me £10,000, my child is ill, you will give your life and you will bring £10,000. My sister, it's a son or daughter, I need to pay, she's distressed. Can never see that your sister is upset? Forget about mother, she's the great. You can't see your auntie, your chachi, your mummy upset. Great relationship. So brothers, on the day of judgment, won't we'll be scattered, crying, screaming, not recognizing each other. We'll be holding each other's legs and he'll be kicking us away. This is your uncle, your auntie, your sister's going in hellfire, your son's going in hellfire. Today, don't we have a chance to recommend them how to get away from hellfire? That, oh, my relative, my brother, sister, auntie, become the student of this teacher and do tawbah and learn dhikr. What a great, great gift you'll be giving to them. Great gift. We can't even do this. We don't even give dawah to people to do dhikr. Allah makes us do all other things. Allah has given us amal. And this amal, the qiyamah, there are more than thousands of hadith about qiyamah. But what about the protection of qiyamah? The severity. Allah is not a zalim. Allah will say, I gave you a chance. I gave you an opportunity. I gave you the method. You still didn't take the lesson. You didn't understand what I was saying. That I gave you the opportunity to make amends. So don't you feel ashamed? Allah Ta'ala says that you could not save your mother, your sister, your wife. You couldn't give protection to your relatives. Look, your wife's going into hellfire. Your child's going to hellfire. Your blood's going. Your awlad is going. Your mother's going. Your auntie is going. And what should happen? Alhamdulillah. That like me, I'm sat here and I get a beautiful dish, curry, food, and if I'm at home, I say, come son, come and eat with me, this is tasty. This mithai, ambala, sweets, nice, barfi, fresh. Come, come, relative, come, sit with me. I'll call everybody, isn't in the house, to eat with me, to enjoy the day. It's my daughter, son, my brother, sister, come, come, eat with me. This is enjoyable, nice taste. I want to share it. Something that's good, I want to share it. Nobody eats on their own. Yeah, biryani, nice and tasty. Oh, come on everybody, I'll call people. They'll come in my house and I'll eat. And the dastarkhan of the Naqshbandi silsila is laid out. On the mat, it's spread. Come, come, get forgiveness, 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 bakshish. And you're eating on your own? You're doing dhikr on your own? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. You don't care about your friends? You're selfish? You don't care about your family? I know that we don't have the courage to say this, but at least do dua to Allah. That Allah, I'm about to go, I'm going to the gathering. This is tabligh, brothers. This is tabligh propagation. There's tabligh that you just have to go outside. Now, even in your home, to tell somebody, correct somebody, you have corrected the whole ummah. If you correct one person, the people outside, they will come towards deen. But what about the people in the house? Your family, you've done islah for your home, generations are saved. If you do islah of your wife, your children will be better. And this is the problem in our households and families, that we don't pay attention to our homes, to our family, our relations. We hear good things outside. I'll tell you the points now. You're listening to what I'm saying. Great words. But we won't go home and share this with our wife and children. Oh, let her do what she's doing. Oh, she'll become upset with me. She'll say, I've just given her lectures. No, this is a problem. There are nice ways with muhabbat and love and affection. And you have to beg sometimes and beg and plead, because you're saving your relations from Jahannam, hellfire, your relatives, the worst fire, the intense fire, depths of darkness. You want your relations, relatives to go there? So this is the message. This is an open field Allah has given. The Naqshbandi silsila is a great method, because Naqshbandi silsila is a direct route to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shortcut, direct route. Sister, brother, man or woman, what is the prescription given to them? Recite Allah ta'ala's name. That's it. Even if you get bayah and you have the link with the sheikh and you're lazy in saying the dhikr, if you've taken the hand of the sheikh, the Naqshbandi silsila, then direct it goes into you. Allah's name goes into you. Allah says, my name is pure, whether you say it or not, but you will say Allah. And I've seen various deaths like this. I tell you the truth. With my eyes, I speak about my own sister. My sister, when she died, then on the phone was next to me when my sister was dying, and there was a child next to her, and she used to get ill, and she was older than me. She used to call me Hazrat. She had a connection with me, and before Hazrat, she was bathed with my sheikh, and she was my older sister, but she shouldn't call me by my name. She would call me Hazrat. She said on the phone, she was passing away. She said to her son, said, the Hazrat, ma, mama, give dam for her. So I understood that the time for dam has gone. So what dam shall I do over the phone? So I took the phone and I looked, and I was sat down at that time, and I was upset. Obviously, your dear relative's about to die. You realize that the person's about to pass away. I said, everyone has an experience, isn't it? So alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Her last words was Allah, 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 subhanAllah. I took some zam, she had some zamzam. She said, give me some zamzam. She drank the zamzam. She said three times, Allah, Allah, Allah. I was so happy. She was successful. She died successful. I've seen various deaths like this. Various. They had a link with the teacher, with the name of Allah, because they used to recite the name of Allah. So this is the resource we have, my brothers. Let's try our best. We have the dastarkhan laid out. The feast is happening. Qiyamah is on our heads. We have no deed to save us. Is there any deed? Is your salah going to save you? Me? Have I done a hajj and an umrah that will save me? One easy deed, Allah's name. Allah says, I will accept your salah, give you paradise, I will take the azab away from the grave. But you need to have salah, Allah says, isn't it? You have to have salah. What does Allah say? Aha. Salah has to be there. Not that salah that we play with. Allah says proper salah established. But here's what Allah is saying. There is no condition. Just say Allah, Allah. Remember me, Allah Ta'ala says. In the world you keep saying Allah, Allah. And that's enough, Allah Ta'ala says. That's enough. Keep on saying, did I say it? Allah will say, did you say it? Yes, Allah said it in the morning, the evening, walking, talking, driving, tasbih in my heart, latifa, every part of the word. Allah will say, that's enough. That's enough for me. Allah says, I don't know where you pretending, drama, favoring someone. Allah says, I don't care. You just say Allah. Allah says, don't worry, qiyamah will not happen to you. Direct, you will go into paradise. Direct. Direct. How lucky will be that person when your mother's going, your sister's going, and you're holding their hands and you're going as well. Oh, that darvesh used to speak the truth. Today, we've learnt Allah's name. Alhamdulillah, we are successful. We didn't have salah, we were just pretenders. But what saved us? Allah's name saved us. Allah's name saved us. So will we try to do dhikr of Allah? Yes, brothers, if you have love. If you have love, you have got love. You have got love, a lot of love for the world. We'll give so much up for dunya. But we need to save ourselves from akhirah and jahannam, hellfire. We need to try, make an effort that once let me recite the kalma, that hand of the... I'm not saying come to me, go to a true Naqshbandi Shaykh. Find somebody, look for somebody, and if your heart accepts that person, then recite the kalma. And Allah Ta'ala's fazl will come unto you, inshallah. Okay, let's start, recite the Durood Shareef.